see Chip do his butt dance in there, and he still got some moves for today, which I'm very proud of. As of the last two meetings, our Doug, our town manager, presented a part of the budget message, presented a piece of the Francis Forum saga, and as you put it. And what we've been talking about and discussing is also expanding that. And here's why we're here. Let's show why we're here, where we're going with that, and explain what the ACN is and all these different terms that have been thrown out over the last few months. Just kind of take a snapshot of what's going on at Francis Forum and where we're going for a considerable number of years as well, too. So I just want to give you an overshot of everything that's going on. Here's the Francis Forum landfill. The top part is kind of a little bit shady, but you can see it as well. That's the top part is the cap there, the landfill, and its origination consists of 28.25 acres. There is waste that we believe close to 18.25 acres placed up there. Since we've now expanded the boundaries over the last few months, we now have about a 73-acre tract of land up there with the landfill and with the buffer tracts that we have purchased over the last few months. Back in 1973, the Francis Forum landfill began accepting waste. This was a county decision. So Haywood County made a decision that we wanted to accept waste. I spent some time talking to Daniel Kraken, who was the solid waste director, was also the health director at the time. He became de facto the solid waste director, and he talked about how bad Haywood County was with trash being thrown in the backyards, trash being thrown in with creek banks, burning trash, which my family did religiously every Saturday, we burn trash. So what the Francis Forum landfill did was they had a community place to dump trash. The landfill was open for 20 years. That waste is our waste. And what's different about the Francis Forum landfill and the wide open landfill is a couple things. It is an unlined landfill. At that time, Subtitle D, which was a 1976 EPA Act, came into effect. After that, they made all landfills with lines and certain compaction rates of dirt were in there. So this was an unlined landfill. It also not only accepted household waste, it accepted industrial waste. A couple former manufacturers here were dumping waste in there as well. The waste did not have to be screened as it does when you're a wolf now. All waste has to be screened at wolf. All waste, but percentage of waste has to be screened. And so hazardous waste is not allowed there at Wide Oak Landfill. Unfortunately, it was allowed at Francis Forum. This is the way it was operating back in the day. Rules changed in 1976. And so they weren't operating illegally. This is the way it was operating at the time. So you have an unlined landfill, filled up with waste, other chemical waste besides municipal waste as well, too. Any questions? Let's say the Francis Forum opened up in 1973, closed in October. 93 when the Wide Oak Landfill opened up then. The county is required to maintain closed landfill forever. This is a forever project. There's a post-closure that lasts usually 30 years, and you still have to monitor after that forever. You've got 30 years where you're working on your closure, and then your post-closure goes on forever. So when you go on the landfill, you go on it forever. The saga continues. So what is post-closure care? Landfill gas, methane monitoring. Most of the landfill gas out there, 50% of landfill gas is methane. Other 50% is carbon dioxide, or it could have some other compounds in it from other organic compounds. Facility maintenance, stormwater management, soil cap, cover over the waste. We'll be talking about that some more. Roads and access, sediment and erosion control, groundwater and surface water monitoring. Solid waste management, but what you end up really doing is managing water. Francis Forum, at Wide Oak, or any other landfill, you're managing water. And that's what one of the problems that we have is managing water. Because rainwater turns into leachate. Rainwater hits the top of the landfill, the cap, seeps through the bottom, hits the waste, hits the contamination, and becomes leachate, and then travels out of the landfill and off of the landfill boundaries. If you're interested in the stat, 1 inch of rain over 1 acre creates 27,000 gallons of water, which ends up turning into leachate. So here's our landfill problems. Waste very, very, very close to the property boundary lines up at the Lewis, on the Lewis side. We'll talk about the methane gas issues that we have there. Methane gas is detected but above the limits. There's a lower explosive limit that is a standard there, and we've exceeded those limits, and that's why we're out of compliance there. Solid soil cap has settled, water infiltrates, makes leachate, which I discussed, groundwater contaminated beneath the landfill, and off-site close to the landfill. Surface water is not affected. We have monitored and tested and tested, and the good thing about this is that there's a creek that runs there, it's tested twice a year, and there is no contamination there. And part of our ongoing process here is to make sure that creek doesn't get contaminated or anything else gets contaminated because of the landfill. That's one of the things we'll be marching towards, is where is this contamination at? How far is it? What's the exceedance is there? And make sure that we don't contaminate anything else along the way. And that's what this plan that we'll be talking about is. Compliance issues, landfill gas exceeds the limits of the Medina rules, action required. Soil cap needs, interim maintenance, action required. Groundwater exceeds limits under DNR rules, action required. And develop a task list and timeline to address those compliance issues. So here's the timeline there. As you can see, we purchased property. We are in the ACM development phase, which is the assessment of corrective measures, which we will talk about at length. Cap maintenance, which we are doing now. We talked about the cap and removing dirt there. Cubic yards to go on top of that to stop the water from going through and shedding off. Permit modification, which means that we're going to expand the facility boundary. We bought additional properties, so we're going to move the facility boundaries over closer to where the property lines are on the boundaries that we have purchased in the last few months. This, I hope and I do believe, will solve the methane gas issue. Methane gas issues are not part of the ACM. They're not part of the ACM. ACM is dealing with the groundwater. Methane issues are totally separate. Dinner, at the time we'll remove or review the ACM. We will have a public meeting as per our statutes. At that time, a committee will be selected, has to go back and be approved for Dinner. We go through another modification program, process, and then at that point in time, as you can see, we've pushed this out. We're working on the cap, and we pushed this, due to financial reasons and concerns, where we're going to pilot all of this policy on all at once. And Dinger has agreed conceptually to this process that we know. We have landfill gas solutions. As I said, expanding the facility boundary by the purchase of the properties. We're going to move those wells. That's where they are now. They're out of compliance. We're moving those wells. New boundaries of the property. We'll submit new landfill gas monitoring plant to DENR, install new landfill gas monitoring wells, continue to operate the landfill gas recovery system, which that is the gas to energy project that we got a grant for several years ago that we can either burn off through a flare or we can use the gas energy to put the power back on the grid, and everything's up and running well. That's about 27 million homes of energy back. Facility returns to compliance for the landfill gas at that point. As you see, in shadow there, green color, is the actual purchases of the properties that we completed, as I mentioned. And what you can really see there is where the waste limits are lying. And you see how close the limits are to where the boundaries were before. And also, the wells there, these wells that are listed on here are showing that are hot or out of compliance or have issues there. Any questions, commissioners?
Consistently, we talk about how many cubic yards of dirt and so forth. Could you give us an example? It's just numbers.
I've got some examples for you.
Okay, great.
Okay, so the landfill soil cap solutions. Okay, we've been stockpiling cheap dirt. Mr. Dove did a great job of negotiating this price for the dirt out there. We just paid for the haul bill from the DOT project. So we stockpiled 100,000 cubic yards of dirt maintenance plan, which we are in the process of doing right now. They started hauling dirt with the cap, and what that plan will do is they will shave that dirt to 2 to 3% slope, and we'll start shaving water off of the cap, because right now the rain is just falling straight through, going in, so we'll start doing that. Regrade the facility to improve the surface and water drainage at that point. So here's where you get. Got some dirt. County acquired 100,000 cubic yards of dirt for $300,000 last September from the DOT project. It's enough dirt to fill a football field 51 feet high. And for some of those people in the audience who would like to see this, it's enough dirt to fill the Haven County courthouse 19 times.
The whole thing or just this room?
Whole building. And we got some more dirt. We've got 43,000 cubic yards of dirt to do the cap maintenance. And this is the first cap maintenance, a major cap maintenance plan that has been done since the landfill closed in 1993. So $13,000 a year, basically all at once, all at the same time. I think this will help start the process of eliminating the problem of water. And this is also a part of the normal post-closure costs that we would have, regardless. Groundwater solutions. Assess the extent of groundwater impacts. We've done that. NEMA has approved and planned at that point. Identify the remedies, the ACM, assessment corrective measures. We're working on that. Select a remedy, as I told you, we're doing that. Prepare an engineered corrective action plan, or CAP, and implement the corrective action, and return the facility to. Here is the map of the plume, the influence that the groundwater has had. The red, see, it's hotter, yellow as it goes out. The pink line is the area of non-detect. There's wells that have been installed throughout the facility here. Wells went on the Lewis property, and what we found out is where that fluid is going, how far it's going, and what is in those wells as it proceeded off. And the assessment of corrective measures of ACM. ACM is an evaluation of any potential remedies for groundwater. It's in progress. NEMA will review the ACM report. A public hearing will be held concerning ACM as per the North Carolina Administrative Code. After the public hearing, a remedy or remedies will be selected. A corrective action plan will be prepared and NEMA will approve. Implement the corrective action plan. Here's a list of the potential remedies that we have. Place an engineered soil cap over the waste area. So all of our solutions will have an element of soil in those. That's why we have such a large amount of soil there. Because all of our solutions will have some element of why we need the soil. Adding a geomembrane layer. You know, when we talk about the wolf, it has a membrane layer underneath it. Okay, it's HDPE, which is the same kind of plastic material that your laundry detergent bottles are. It's that thing. It's about a half an inch, a little bit bigger than that thick. Okay, so we're going to do the reverse of this. We're going to put a layer of dirt over, then put a membrane cap on it, and then put another layer of dirt. It's one of the remedies that could be selected. Leachate recovery and disposal, that's what we're doing as well right now, too. When we did the gas energy project, we put leachate recovery wells in there to help pull some of that moisture and wetness out of there to help generate the methane to pull more methane out and to get rid of the leachate as well too. The recovery wells and recapture zone means where we drill more wells have a holding tank, holding area for it to be sanitized and treated, basically be having your own sewer plant on site. The FIDO mediation, this one I think would be kind of a cool remedy, is where you use plants. And those organisms then grow those to get the chemicals out of the ground. You have a tree system, root system to take those out of there. So there's various ways you can do that. Active soil vapor extraction system, where you can pull the water and the soil out. It goes through a chemical process and then is redistributed on the landfill or it's removed from the landfill. injection wells is where actually drill wells in the ground and you put an active microorganism in there to start eating the contamination out. So it's a protein, it could be whey, it could be molasses for some reason, works in this situation. I don't know exactly how that is, but those are different types. And the passive reactive barrier is where we would dig a trench all the way around the landfill. And then we put throughout that landfill, there would be these barriers or iron or other chemicals to where the water would pass through there and get cleansed out. It'd be a continuous running system. Pull that out of there. And then monitored natural attenuation means where to put the soil cap over, and over time we're draining the landfill out, getting all the water out of it, and it sort of directs itself through at a time. So it could be the ACM, the remedies could pick, could be one of these, or it could be combination of two or three. As we move in that process, we'll know more and closer how to do that. Okay. I've gotten a few questions about the cost of the, it's going up from 92 to 164, how is that? So I want to compare, our other utilities, because solid waste is a utility. I think it's an overlooked utility. Because what solid waste does is we pick up the garbage from the convenience centers, the transfer station, we take it to the landfill. We have professionals that are running the landfill. We have people out there just giving a public utility and a public service, just as any other important service in that. It's how we cleaned up Hayward County. We heard Dan Crackett's horror stories about how the county looked in the 70s and what the landfills have done. And what we're doing is providing a public place, a safe place to dump waste and garbage. So average monthly residential electricity in North Carolina is $117 a month. Average monthly residential water and sewer bill in North Carolina is $80.25. A study earlier this year found that Verizon was the most expensive carrier on their cell phone bill for $148, and the least of those being $120. And the solid waste, here's what your solid waste fee does. Covers 10 convenience centers in a MRF with 540 weekly hours of operation. Waste and recycling is hauled by a third party who provide a sanitary landfill or transfer station for further convenience. Protecting human health by having a place to dump the trash. That's what this $164 balance is out to, is $13.66 a month. It's a utility. We're running the utility the best we can. We've made several and lots of strides over the few years. The four members that are on the president and the board in 2009, when we first discussed this problem, said we've got to find a solution and fix it. We're not going to pass this down to generation. And we've worked slow, we've baby stepped through this, and so we are at that time now where we're going to proceed, where we're going to find a corrective action. And in 5 years, this will not be a problem for future generations. Any questions?
David, one of the things I wanted to say is we're being proactive because the methane grant that you got was $1 million.
$1 million.
$1 million grant, and we got taxpayers. We didn't have to come up with that. Mm-hmm. And that took care of the methane recovery system, which is, I think you said, generates electricity for $27. We also, the soil cap, like DOT having the dirt available, we just had to pay for the haul bill. We didn't have to pay for the dirt and the haul bill. We had to just pay for the haul bill to bring it up to the landfill.
And estimations on that dirt saved $1 million.
Another $1 million.
And $43,000 a cubic yards of dirt hauled and shaped for us. So basically $3 a ton.
Okay. And then the landfill itself is about 20 acres. What's the size?
The land where the waste is, exactly, it's about 18 acres worth.
Okay. And then you're using examples, but actually it's 18 acres of how deep does the soil have to be?
How deep is the soil for the cap?
For the cap, we're having to bring in.
It's going to be varying depths due to the degradation of the landfill.
Okay.
Some places it's going to be 3 feet, other places it may be 7 feet. Right. For the board to rank out, there's not a true number there about how, you know, that it's going to be, you know, an average, you can figure it'd be 2.5 to 3 feet, which will, you have this compacted soil, it's sloped and shaped, and we're going to be shedding water, and so the penetration time frame lessens as the more compacted earth that you have.
And then the other question I just want to make, what if we do nothing? What if we just cover hands?
Then I think that the deer folks and us would be a little bit tiff. They, since 2009, they've seen that we have worked towards a steady solution and to come up, you know, we've not, you know, before, it was, you know, there was a, from 2009 to 2099, you see a series of things happening, and then the floods hit 2004, so, you know, we were distracted from that for a while, and we picked that back up, and so we're working towards getting everything corrected.
Because they can find us several thousand.
Yeah, we're already under the violation. Right. But I think it's $15,000 a day.
$15,000
a day? Yeah. So, you know, if they
expect $2,000 a day.
And before.
So David, if we do nothing and we're fine, we still will have to do something down the road. That doesn't relieve us.
Correct.
I guess you have to go to court and all that. So that was quite expensive.
Yeah, that would be expensive. Yeah, you have to go to court.
So we still have an environmental disaster in Francis Farm is what we have.
Yeah.
That we created.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, there's no fault. It was just at the time, you know, that was acceptable. You know, now in Subtitle D, you know, there's setbacks. Waste stream, there's landfills around. You know, the only thing, you know, I can just think of that just scratch my head on is that, you know, we're going to put waste product against the landfill boundary. So, you know, don't like that. And then we put a bus garage up there as well, too. But that bus garage is monitored. There's a monitoring system in there. We're actually putting a new monitoring system in there beginning in July. So, to all update the monitoring system there. There's only been one time any issue at all. It was mostly from the gas of the garage.
David, it sounds like the key is the cap, the dirt, then the plastic, or you said it's half inch thick, and then the dirt again. So mm-hmm. If no water's going through, we've eliminated a big problem. Then we have to deal with the methane gas that's produced, and we can keep that on site. If water's not going through that.
Correct. Yeah. And then moving the wells, you know, to the new boundary limits will solve that issue. We'll solve that issue.
I think it's safe to say that nobody likes this.
No.
We don't like it. It's happening wrong. The citizens don't like it. It's an expensive fix. Doing nothing, as Kevin said, is not an option. We have both a legal and a moral obligation to repair the contamination and prevent streams in Hinkle County from becoming contaminated with this waste. So it's something that has to be done. I wish that weren't the case, but it is. So the other thing I've been asked is once this remediation is complete and the site is where it needs to be in terms of environmental and deer compliance, what will happen to the availability fee at that time? And my answer is I can't answer that. I don't know how many years it will take. It will be for a future board to examine the availability fees at the time the remediation is complete and look at it in conjunction with any other solid waste needs that may or may not exist and arrive at a rate. This board doesn't have the authority to do that.
That's right.
We don't want to deal with what we have to deal with.
Don't see that it would be prudent for this board to tie another board's hands and say that it would be out to the sunset in 5 years, or you know, it goes up in 5 years. Because
this is going to at least FY18, 19.
Correct.
At least. If there were problems, those are challenges presented.
Correct.
You want to say anything? No, we want to do this just to give the taxpayers another chance to understand what we're up against here and why the availability fee, while there is no choice, but has been largely completed, but we're trying to do things to get us through this point so that we didn't have a lot of expenses along the way.
We have, you know, accelerated, you know, so yeah, we've taken our time on some things we've accelerated on. And we had the opportunity to purchase the properties that we took around the landfill. We took those opportunities and did that. So that gave us, you know, new boundary. We knew we were going to have a new boundary sooner or later. And then when you polluted another person's property, what's that cost? What's that cost? Did you mention that cost?
Well, you didn't really think much aside from the immoral acts of polluting taxpayers' property. We called the answer to that legally. There's been a lot of litigation costs, and it's still end up owning the property.
Yeah.
It's costing a lot more.
One question I had from a constituent was the I let you know that the solid waste fee that we collect goes into a special account, a solid waste account. It's not just put in a separate fund, so the public can know where that money's going and what it's being used for. It's kind of separate. But that's a fee that, you know, the state requires that we have, I guess.
Move from an enterprise fund to a special fund.
Especially if it has the enterprise fund out separately from the general fund.
Right, so yeah, so it's a special fund. And we have different categories in that fund as well. One for a lot of Francis Palmer, one for all those categories, or some categories in a special fund as well.
And at any time, there'll be a complete accounting available for money to go in and money to go out, what they went out for, what they were spent for. This time, as this process continues.
Just one question I talked to you about Friday, David, was our elderly residents and the seniors that are, they don't have to pay the fee if they qualify or if you're disabled. Can you kind of go over that so the public understands and when you can do that and when you can't?
Part of our solid waste ordinance is that if you qualify under the tax provisions for receiving an exemption, you're disabled or a senior citizen, then you receive, you are not charged an availability fee at all. If you meet the criteria of being 65 years and you are resident of Haywood County and your income doesn't exceed $29,100, you qualify for a senior citizen exemption. So part of our ordinance says we're not charged if you're in that program for senior citizens.
And who would they contact? In other words, they have to make an effort to come up. And who do they contact?
It would be the tax assessor's office. And you can see Jennifer Chandler there. She's in charge of that aspect of the exemptions.
Now, I think you said June the 1st, by statute, is you have to do it before June the 1st, but you can do it for next year.
Correct.
That's by statute. You don't have anything that's not I'd like to extend it, but we can't. So they didn't do that. But they do need to make an effort. I mean, they have to be proactive in coming up and asking.
Each year, it's on the back of the tax bill that explains the program. So every year it goes out on the back of the tax bill and explains your exemptions and you qualify and who to contact there.
And the reason people have to come forward and the candidate can come to them is because this means testing. The candidate have no way of knowing what a person's income or family income is, and consequently whether or not they qualify for it. So only they know what they make, so they need to come to. Anything else? Questions?
I think one observation that kind of struck me, nobody wants to have to pay any more than you have to do to dispose of or whatever. But as we said, it's $13.66 a month, which is $4.42 a week to dispose of garbage. Get rid of it. And I know most households, there's quite a bit of garbage. At least two of us in our household, we produce quite a bit. The boxes and whatever, papers and regular garbage. So that's really still a pretty good deal at $4.42 to dispose of garbage.
It happens, you know, comes in September, you know, so if you actually look at it, it'll be able to, you know, begin to see that out. But if you take it and average it out over the month, the year, the week, then it's a pretty fair price in the end for what all the services that you get provided.
Good job, very thorough. Thank you. Sure. More you can understand.
If there's any questions, we'll be happy to answer.